All right. Well, here he is back again. Maybe we should have played a song back again. Welcome back. Former PGA of America president Ted Bishop and author of the book Unfriended. What's going on, Ted?
Hey, just enjoying the Ryder Cup like you guys are, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We're like kind of doing almost like play-by-play. Just don't tell anybody.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to take you back to yesterday morning and what you thought about who both teams rolled out against whom and why in the first round of alternate shot.
Well, I tell you what, I was surprised by the Mickelson-Fowler pairing, and I was surprised by the Walker-Johnson pairing for the United States. But as we both saw, it worked out really well for us. And obviously, Davis knew more than the experts did. But, you know, I think that set the stage for what's going to be a crazy last three rounds. You know, when the United States jumps out to a lead like that, in some ways you kind of thought this thing might be over with, and the Europeans bounced back. And you know, I thought last night, if you would have said 24 hours before the Ryder Cup began that the United States would be up 5-3, Davis Love, and I think the American team would have been really happy with that. And on the other hand, if you'd have told Darren Clark at noon yesterday that he'd be down 5-3 after two sessions, I think he'd have been thrilled with that. So here we are.
Yeah, you know, and I was talking about it to Mike this morning. I was a little shocked that no Dustin Johnson in this match. I mean, go back maybe 10 years and tell me that Tiger Woods is sitting out a session and there'd be, you know, anarchy going on. I mean, there'd be people just bouncing off the walls. And here you have Dustin Johnson, who's theoretically the best player in the U.S. squad, and he's sitting out this morning.
Yeah, that one took me by surprise. I would have bet anything that DJ would have been a five-session guy. And no question about it. But, you know, that being said, guys, when you looked at these matchups this morning, you know, I felt like, you know, the first match was one that the Europeans could win just based on the way that McIlroy was playing. I thought the, you know, the two matches where you had Rose and Stenson going out with rookies, you know, those were going to be questionable or tough wins for the Europeans. And then, you know, the last match, you know, I thought possibly favored the Americans. So, you know, the Europeans are in a position where they really, there's no margin for error going forward. But in fairness to Clark, when you've got a team full of rookies like he does, you got to get these guys in and you got to play them. And I think his hands have been tied. And I was surprised beforehand that he picked Westwood instead of Russell Knox. And I think maybe the reason he did that in retrospect was he just didn't feel like he could probably have seven rookies on the team. But I think Westwood, you know, he showed yesterday he's not in great form. He's going to be a guy that it's going to be hard to hide. And I don't know that Keimer is you know, he doesn't look like he's in great form among their veterans. So I still like the position the United States is in.
Well, we're on with Ted Bishop, the former president of the PGA and author of Unfriended. And you know, we looked at the task force, which I've lovingly started calling the task farce. But the selection of Ryan Moore, I mean, we waited and waited and waited for the hot hand and the guy who was putting, and we waited and had this stupid announcement during the football game last Sunday night. And then he went out yesterday, and the one thing he was supposed to bring, the hot putter, wasn't there. Does that lead to further questions about this, you know, how this thing has been handled from the get-go?
Well, I just think that last pick is one that's maybe in question. And, you know, you guys follow tour golf, and you see this week in and week out. I mean, rarely do you see anybody repeat. I know guys get hot and they'll play well in streaks, but I said this on your show last week that I just thought that whoever that pick was going to be, it was going to be a whirlwind for 48 hours trying to figure everything out. And it's a tough adjustment to come into, and I don't care how much match play experience Ryan Moore's had in the past, it's not the Ryder Cup. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he bounces back this week. But yeah, I'm sure that they're going to reevaluate. I think the picking aspect of it. I don't know whether I said this to you guys last week, but I traded some texts with Steve Stricker and on this particular point, and he said he thought that would be one thing going forward that they definitely would take a look at.
Well, I've been harping on this left and right, and you know, you said yesterday you were surprised at the Fowler-Mickelson. Personally, I would not put – the way Phil drives the ball, I would not put him in foursomes. I'd love to have him out in best ball because he's going to make some miraculous shots, but he makes too many errors off the tee for me to be putting somebody constantly in that situation, and we're already seeing it again this morning where him and Fowler are just all over the lot, and they're two down through four now. Have we got ourselves with this pod system ever since Azinger turned it around and won it in 08, have we got ourselves kind of pigeonholed in this pod system where we can't seem to mix guys up to make different teams?
Well, I think that's a legitimate point. I think, and I totally agree with what you're saying about Mickelson not playing in the foursomes and even possibly Ricky, because he's kind of all over the place as well. And, you know, I was just reading Jeff Shackelford's blog, waiting to come on with you guys, and I guess in a press conference yesterday, somebody pointed out that he mentioned Phil's name 15 times. And I just think that without question, I know how this goes. I mean, I know how it went at Medina, because I was taking Phil back to in a golf cart to the clubhouse when he told Amy that he was going to sit out Saturday afternoon. And if you remember, you know, Davis got criticized after Mickelson and Bradley torched their opponents like 6 and 5 in the morning session, that he sat Phil out in the afternoon. And there's no question Phil's telling Davis when he's going to play, and Davis is doing, you know, what Phil is telling him that he wants done. I've said from the outset that I think that Mickelson is the most dominating figure in this Ryder Cup scene right now. I think he was behind the scenes with a lot of the decisions that were made, and it was very disappointing to me again this week to see him call out another past captain and what he said about Hal Sutton, given the fact that he changed equipment a few days before the Ryder Cup himself.
Yes,
and
he did.
It was incredulous to me that nobody in the media center called him out on that point immediately when he started talking about the lack of preparation time that Sutton had given him. So I'm kind of like you. I mean, I think the task force has done some good things. I think there's been overkill in a lot of areas, and the fact of the matter, yesterday, I don't know how much pre-preparation the task force had to do with the fact that the Americans were up 4-0. I mean, we just went out and solidly outplayed the Euros in that first session.
Ted, has Phil earned the right to have such an influence?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think when you look at the other players who are in this era who would be captains coming up. I mean, there's only one other player that's got a better resume in terms of major championships than Phil does, obviously, and that's Tiger Woods. And, you know, Phil has always been more vocal, I think, than Woods. He's a guy that can impose his leadership upon people. He's a past PGA champion. I know how significant that is internally to the PGA of America. And I'm not really surprised by the way any of this stuff has unfolded. I've said all along he'll be the captain at Bethpage in 2024. He's made no bones about the fact that that's where he wants to be the captain. And I think that'll be an interesting Ryder Cup from the standpoint that he's been quick to point fingers at a lot of guys that have been in his shoes when he's in that position. And it'll be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, Ted, you brought up Tiger. I mean, we've never really heard in any Ryder Cup that Tiger has dictated anything other than maybe, you know, asking to play with certain people like a Steve Stricker. So, you know, and I don't even know if it's been a demand more than it's been a request. Is that kind of what you've seen as well?
No, it's exactly what I've seen. I mean, the only team room that I was in where both those guys were present was at Wales. I take that back. Obviously, Woods was there at Medina as well. So I was in two team rooms, you know, reflecting back at Wales and Medina. And in both cases, there's no question Phil was more vocal in the team room. You know, I mentioned this in my book. I felt like part of the thing that held Phil back from a leadership standpoint, where he always wanted to lead at the Ryder Cup, really was his performance. And he won his singles match at Wales. He went 3-1 at Medina. He was 2-1 at Glen Eagles. He won again yesterday. So, you know, his record over the last four Ryder Cups right now is, you figure to do the math, something like 7-2. So I think now You know, he feels like his performance on the course has put him in a position where, you know, he can be a more vocal leader. I never saw Tiger get up and say a whole lot in either one of those team rooms that I was in at Wales and Medina. I felt like he was a guy that tried to lead more at that point in his career by his performance on the golf course. So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic, but I think this is I said when the task force did their announcement, you know, 4 months after it was formed and talked about the point system and the direction they were going, I said this was Phil Mickelson's Ryder Cup for the next decade.
Hmm. Well, we're talking to Ted Bishop, former president of the PGA of America. And, Ted, when we look at this task force and we looked at how this team comes together, and yes, it's all results-oriented. So if the U.S. comes out and wins this thing or even blows it out, for example, does that validate all of this, or do we have to still examine it more closely?
Well, I think in the minds of the people that are involved on the task force and the PGA of America, it'll validate everything that they've done. You know, I thought it was interesting, again, getting back to that press conference that Phil did the other day where somebody, you know, the whole discussion got started when somebody asked him how important was the influence of the captain on the outcome of these matches, and he once again went to this point about it's the captain's job to put the players in a position where they can succeed, you know, to win. And that's kind of the whole theme of this task force. It's all these intangibles that, you know, take the pressure off of guys and make them feel comfortable with their partners and their pairings and the people that are on the team. I've never competed at the PGA Tour level, and I never was in the locker room as a player. I was there as an official, but I've been in a lot of locker rooms. I played a lot of team sports when I was younger, and I think the fundamentals of team sports are kind of the same everywhere you're at. And it's easy to sit here and say when things are going well that we concocted this magical formula to create chemistry and we relaxed our players no matter what the sport was. But as you know, it's not that simple. It just is not that simple. No. Things happen during the course of competition that relax players, that create more pressure. You can't prepare for any of that stuff. So I'm like a lot of people, and I've heard from PGA members and media members, there's parts of the task force that, you know, that have worn me out over the last 6 months. And I mean, you're talking to the guy that they put this thing together. And, you know, somebody asked me a question the other day, well, has this unfolded, you know, the way that you thought that it would? My answer to that was, you know, it was just simply my job to put it together, to put the pieces in the puzzle, and then to take a step back and let them do their work. You know, I really thought from the beginning it would, we wanted to involve the players more, certainly, in what was going on. And I think they've done that. Whether they've done that too much, you know, I don't know. But if they win, there's no question that everybody's going to herald the task force as a group of geniuses. And if they lose, there'll be more scrutiny on this Ryder Cup than there has, I think, in any Ryder Cup in recent history.
Yeah, I was going to say, before we let you go, what happens if the U.S. squad does not win? Where do we go from here? I mean, what do you see happening next?
Well, what I see happening is I think the tagline coming out of this is going to be, hey, you know, we can't fix all the mistakes or the shortcomings that we had to fix in one Ryder Cup. This is a long-term plan. We're sticking with the plan, and, you know, it's going to work out in the future. And the one thing that I do totally agree with is the succession plan, where you're bringing guys in as assistant captains that are no doubt someday going to be captains. I mean, that's the one thing the Europeans have done well. And you're seeing that with Stricker and Furyk, you know, no question. I don't know about, you know, I'm still curious if Bubba Watson will be a Ryder Cup captain someday. You, of course, Lehman's already done it. Help me out. Who's the fifth? Woods.
Yeah, Tiger.
Well, I mean,
Tiger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, you got three guys, and Stricker and Furyk and Woods are going to be Ryder Cup captains. So I think that's good. You know, that's been a very positive thing. And, you know, I hope they re-examine the points system, because I was an advocate of having the fall series in the year of the Ryder Cup be part of these Ryder Cup points. I think that hurt Justin Thomas. I think it hurt Kevin Kisner. It put a whole different slant on these standings. So I think that's something that they could reevaluate as well.
All right. Well, Ted, man, we always appreciate you coming on with us. We love talking to you, and we hope to do it again sometime soon.
Okay, guys. Always enjoy talking to you, and it'll be an exciting weekend.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
That's Ted Bishop, former PGA of America president and author of Unfriended, and Phil Mickelson has yet hit another shot right-handed.
Yeah, I was I was looking at the TV, and I was like, well, that looks like Mickelson, but now it can't be. He's hitting the ball right-handed. Oh, yes, he's hitting it right-handed with his club upside down. Again, another problem with alternate shot with when you have guys who spray it.
This could end up being 8-6.
Easy now.
I mean, this could be Stephen Ames with Tiger Woods.
Oh, boy. I hope not. Because like we said, if they could come out and half this thing, that's a win in the first one. If they could come, but then now, what are we at? We're two down now?
You might have to tweet out your dumpster fire picture, Jen. Yeah.
There it is, the dumpster fire.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to talk to Hall of Famer himself. Great writer. Ron Green Sr. is going to join us. We're going to talk Arnold Palmer.
Yeah, and probably touch on the Ryder Cup as it relates to Palmer as well.
Yep. All right. So when we do that, stick around. Mark Greenhalgh, Mike Fracina, you're listening to the Golf Shop Radio Network.